Part 1. Rise and Fall of the Khazars. In Khazaria, sheep, honey, and Jews exist in large quantities. Mukhadazi, Descriptio Imperii Moslemici, 10th century. Chapter 1. Rise. About the time when Charlemagne was crowned emperor of the West, the eastern confines of Europe between the Caucasus and the Volga were ruled by a Jewish state known as the Khazar Empire. At the peak of its power, from the 7th to the 10th centuries AD, it played a significant part in shaping the destinies of medieval, and consequently of modern, Europe. The Byzantine emperor and historian Constantine Porphyrogenitus, 913-959 AD, must have been well aware of this when he recorded in his treatise on court protocol that letters addressed to the Pope in Rome, and similarly, those to the Emperor of the West, had a gold seal worth 2 solidi attached to them, whereas messages to the King of the Khazars displayed a seal worth 3 solidi. This was not flattery, but real politic. In the period with which we are concerned, wrote Bury, it is probable that the Khan of the Khazars was of little less importance in view of the imperial foreign policy than Charles the Great and his successors. The country of the Khazars, a people of Turkish stock, occupied a strategic key position at the vital gateway between the Black Sea and the Caspian, where the great eastern powers of the period confronted each other. It acted as a buffer protecting Byzantium against invasions by the lusty barbarian tribesmen of the northern steppes, Bulgars, Magyars, Pechenegs, etc., and later, the Vikings and the Russians. But equally, or even more important, both from the point of view of Byzantine diplomacy and of European history, is the fact that the Khazar armies effectively blocked the Arab avalanche in its most devastating early stages, and thus prevented the Muslim conquest of Eastern Europe. Professor Dunlop of Columbia University, a leading authority on the history of the Khazars, has given a concise summary of this decisive, yet virtually unknown episode. Quote, "The Khazar country lay across the natural line of advance of the Arabs. Within a few years of the death of Muhammad, AD 632, the armies of the Caliphate, sweeping northward through the wreckage of 2 empires and carrying all before them, reached the great mountain barrier of the Caucasus. This barrier once passed, the road lay open to the lands of Eastern Europe. As it was on the line of the Caucasus, the Arabs met the forces of an organized military power which effectively prevented them from extending their conquests in this direction. The wars of the Arabs and the Khazars, which lasted more than 100 years, though little known, have thus considerable historical importance. The Franks of Charles Martel on the field of Tours turned the tide of Arab invasion. At about the same time, the threat to Europe in the East was hardly less acute. The victorious Muslims were met and held by the forces of the Khazar kingdom. It can scarcely be doubted that but for the existence of the Khazars in the region north of the Caucasus, Byzantium, the bulwark of European civilization in the East, would have found itself outflanked by the Arabs, and the history of Christendom and Islam might well have been very different from what we know." End quote. It is perhaps not surprising, given these circumstances, that in 732, after a resounding Khazar victory over the Arabs, the future Emperor Constantine V married a Khazar princess. In due time, their son became the Emperor Leo IV, known as Leo the Khazar. Ironically, the last battle in the war in AD 737 ended in a Khazar defeat. But by that time, the impetus of the Muslim Holy War was spent. The Caliphate was rocked by internal dissensions, and the Arab invaders retraced their steps across the Caucasus without having gained a permanent foothold in the north, whereas the Khazars became more powerful than they had previously been. A few years later, probably AD 740, the king, his court, and the military ruling class embraced the Jewish faith, and Judaism became the state religion of the Khazars. No doubt their contemporaries were as astonished by this decision as modern scholars were when they came across the evidence in the Arab, Byzantine, Russian, and Hebrew sources. One of the most recent comments is to be found in a work by the Hungarian Marxist historian Dr. Antal Bartha. His book on the Magyar Society in the 8th and 9th centuries has several chapters on the Khazars, as during most of that period the Hungarians were ruled by them. Yet their conversion to Judaism is discussed in a single paragraph, with obvious embarrassment. It reads, quote, "Our investigations cannot go into problems pertaining to the history of ideas, but we must call the reader's attention to the matter of the Khazar kingdom's state religion. It was the Jewish faith which became the official religion of the ruling strata of society. Needless to say, the acceptance of the Jewish faith as the state religion of an ethnically non-Jewish people could be the subject of interesting speculations. We shall, however, confine ourselves to the remark that this official conversion, in defiance of Christian proselytizing by Byzantium, the Muslim influence from the East, and in spite of the political pressure of these two powers, to a religion which had no support from any political power, but was persecuted by nearly all, has come as a surprise to all historians concerned with the Khazars, and cannot be considered as accidental, but must be regarded as a sign of the independent policy pursued by that kingdom." End quote. Which leaves us only slightly more bewildered than before. Yet whereas the sources differ in minor detail, the major facts are beyond dispute. What is in dispute is the fate of the Jewish Khazars after the destruction of their empire in the 12th or 13th century. On this problem, the sources are scant, but various late medieval Khazar settlements are mentioned in the Crimea, in the Ukraine, in Hungary, Poland, and Lithuania. The general picture that emerges from these fragmentary pieces of information is that of a migration of Khazar tribes and communities into those regions of Eastern Europe, mainly Russia and Poland, where, at the dawn of the modern age, the greatest concentrations of Jews were found. This has led several historians to conjecture that a substantial part and perhaps the majority of Eastern Jews, and hence of world Jewry, might be of Khazar and not of Semitic origin. The far-reaching implications of this hypothesis may explain the great caution exercised by historians in approaching this subject, if they do not avoid it altogether. Thus, in the 1973 edition of the Encyclopedia Judaica, the article Khazars is signed by Dunlop, but there is a separate section dealing with Khazar Jews after the fall of the kingdom, signed by the editors, and written with the obvious intent to avoid upsetting believers in the dogma of the chosen race. Quote, "The Turkish-speaking Karaites, a fundamentalist Jewish sect of the Crimea, Poland, and elsewhere, have affirmed a connection with the Khazars, which is perhaps confirmed by evidence from folklore and anthropology as well as language. There seems to be a considerable amount of evidence attesting to the continued presence in Europe of descendants of the Khazars." End quote. How important, in quantitative terms, is that presence of the Caucasian sons of Japheth in the tents of Shem? One of the most radical propounders of the hypothesis concerning the Khazar origins of Jewry is the professor of medieval Jewish history at Tel Aviv University, A. N. Polyak. His book, Khazaria in Hebrew, was published in 1944 in Tel Aviv, and a second edition in 1951. In his introduction, he writes that the facts demand, quote, "a new approach, both to the problem of the relations between the Khazar Jewry and other Jewish communities, and to the question of how far we can go in regarding this Khazar Jewry as the nucleus of the large Jewish settlement in Eastern Europe. The descendants of this settlement, those who stayed where they were, those who emigrated to the United States and to other countries, and those who went to Israel, constitute now the large majority of world Jewry." End quote. This was written before the full extent of the Holocaust was known, but that does not alter the fact that the large majority of surviving Jews in the world is of Eastern European and thus perhaps mainly of Khazar origin. If so, this would mean that their ancestors came not from the Jordan, but from the Volga, not from Canaan, but from the Caucasus, once believed to be the cradle of the Aryan race, and that genetically they are more closely related to the Hun, Uyghur, and Magyar tribes than to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Should this turn out to be the case, then the term anti-Semitism would become void of meaning, based on a misapprehension shared by both the killers and their victims. The story of the Khazar Empire, as it slowly emerges from the past, begins to look like the cruelest hoax which history has ever perpetrated.